This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, it's first week of February. Oftentimes that the first week of the month brings in fresh money from the outside, and we've come down a long way, so we're seeing the opportunity for a little bit of a bounce in the markets here. I think probably the key driver right now, though, is twofold. One, we're seeing the dollar that's come up so sharply without any time of major correction, looking for an opportunity to correct lower and some profit taken in global currency markets. I don't think the fundamentals of the dollar have changed at all, but I think the dollar is past due for that correction lower, which allows some money to come back into the commodity sector. Then you add to that the fact that we have the largest strike going on now in the oil fields that we have seen since 1980, and that strike is creating a lot of uncertainty in the energy sector. A lot of the funds had been shorting or selling the energy sector, and now with the uncertainty of the strike, they're taking their profits on those short positions, getting out, and that's allowing the energy prices to rise. Crude oil trading back above $50, I think, is giving a boost to the grain and oil seeds as well. In fact, we're seeing kind of money flowing back into the broad spectrum of commodity and equity markets. So I don't believe this is a long-term change in direction at this point. It's something that we've been anticipating the possibility of, particularly when we saw over the weekend the strike in the oil fields and the oil sector, that if it expands could eventually impact nearly two-thirds of our gasoline production in the United States. So I think what we're getting here is an opportunity, a rally to be sold, a rally to be taken advantage of, a rally to catch up on, and we need to be careful about getting too bullish because fundamentally we still have a big crop coming in South America and supplies are growing. The market's job is still to discourage production and encourage demand to bring the two into balance, and that hasn't happened yet.
And with the South American crop looking so well, do you want to just give us an update as to what we could be looking at from them?
Well, the primary focus is on soybeans. Last year, Brazil produced a crop of 86.7 million metric tons of soybeans and a record crop, and we talked about what a big crop that was. And then this year, we expanded acreage. Even after a record U.S. crop that gave us big surpluses, Brazilian farmers expanded production, expanded area, had generally favorable weather. And so there were private estimates coming out of the crop of a really surging to 97, 98, 99 million metric tons. USDA, in fact, in their January 12th crop report, raised their production estimate from 94 up to 95.5 million metric tons. So just a huge crop, and that was the mindset. Since then, we've had some heat and dryness across the central and northern parts of the belt during the pod fill stage that have taken some of the top off the crop. We still have the expanded acreage. We still have overall good yields, but now we're seeing estimates come out in the 93 to 94 million metric ton level. That's still a big crop. It's still well above last year's record crop, but it's not quite as big as what was expected before. And so that is having a psychological effect of them on the market, allowing a little bit of a relief rally in here to correct an oversold condition. But I don't think it really changes the long-term fundamentals that much when we look at global supplies increasing. On the corn side, overall, it looks like corn yields in the first crop will be pretty good, but that doesn't matter so much as the second crop of safrinha corn, which is 60% of Brazil's production. And that is keyed upon whether we have good weather in February in Mato Grosso do Sul, and some of the surrounding areas to harvest the soybeans and plant the corn crop by March 1st. And at this point, that appears very favorable. Profit margins for corn are actually better this year than they were a year ago due to currency exchange rate differences. And then you go south of the border into Argentina, and both soybean and corn yields look very good. They're just looking at a record soybean crop. Corn area was down a little bit, so it may not be record production, but still looking very good. So they're going to help make up for some of the losses in Brazil.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. We'll hear more from Suderman coming up after this. With the dollar correcting itself slightly downward, Suderman addressed what another bumper crop year would mean for grain prices.
Well, I've been expecting a pullback in the dollar, as I mentioned, but overall the dollar's fundamentals remain strong relative to the rest of the world. Yes, we have problems, but we don't have near as many problems as the rest of the world. We're still talking about potential interest rate hikes later this year in the United States. Well, as the rest of the world lowers interest rates, Australia joined the strong chorus of various central banks overnight in lowering its interest rate, and that caused its Australian dollar to drop over 2% versus the U.S. dollar. So overall, I think the dollar is going to remain strong going forward. Typically, we're in the month of February when crop insurance rates are set, and a lot of people think, well, that's when prices need to rally. And they have done that in some years in the past because that was the time we needed to make sure we buy acres. Well, in times of surplus, you don't need to buy acres. You need to discourage acres, especially for soybeans. So I'm looking for the month of February to be a tough month overall for the soybean contracts. Corn, I think, may chop in a sideways trading range with a bit of a downside bias overall. And then as we get into the month of March and into the spring, we may see a little bit of risk premium added back into corn once again, to make sure we don't reduce acreage too much because we're still vulnerable if we get a major weather problem in the Midwest this summer. And then as we go into the summer, obviously it's going to be based on whether we have good weather or whether we have poor growing conditions. If we have good growing conditions, I think we can expect new lows in both the corn and soybean markets. If we have very adverse weather, we could be back up to prices that we saw a few years ago, but that's a big if at this point, and really can't see that on the horizon. We'll have to get closer to the growing season to have an idea on that.
So like many other growing seasons, it's basically just going to come down to weather.
It really does. The farmers' fortunes are hinge on the weather forecast.
Again, that was market analyst with Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The U.S. Department of Agriculture released its fiscal year 2016 proposed budget with a total spending level that's 3% higher than this year, yet below the proposed level in 2010. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the budget is more than just numbers.
It's an expression of values, and I think it ought to be a roadmap to a brighter and better future.
More money for research and beginning farmers is in the proposal, along with a nearly $1.5 billion cut for crop insurance subsidies. Vilsack is also looking to adjust rates, subsidies, and payments for preventative planting and harvest price loss coverage.
What we're doing here is responding to an OIG audit that essentially said that our preventive planting payments could be adjusted a bit, and also taking a look at the harvest price loss coverage, which has received some criticism in terms of the level of subsidy and the opportunity that it creates for a fairly significant payout.
Combine higher payoffs for ARC with slightly less payouts for crop insurance, and Vilsack says the result is about the same as was promised in the Farm Bill. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.